May what is spoken here this morning and what is heard be spoken and heard in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's gospel is about God's love. In one way, it's easy to talk about God's love, but it's more of a struggle all the time to understand what we really mean by God's love. And I think this is partly because we use our experiences of human love as the jumping off point for our understanding of God's love. But we do know that human love is less than perfect. We know all too well that the well of human love can run dry. And we project our small human experiences of finite love onto God. And as a result, we think we must be worthy of love, including God's. And we embrace a heresy that goes along with that, which is, God only has so much love to give. That's a heresy. We sometimes live as if we might hear the following breaking news bulletin. Sources report that the price of God's love has gone up $5 a barrel due to high demand and short supply. A break in the pipeline and problems in offshore drilling for God's love means that further shortages and price hikes are in store. People are urged to decrease their consumption and look for substitutes for God's love. Current practices of being conduits of God's love and lavishing it on others, including children, the weak, the vulnerable, and the poor, must be stopped immediately. So rather than thinking of God as God is known in our scripture and our liturgy and our faith tradition as a source of all love, unquenchable, unstoppable, self-giving love with oceans full of love to give, we think of God's love as being meted out in teaspoons or eyedroppers. And we need somehow to qualify even to get some of it. So when we hear today's parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, we all too easily hear this following interpretation. A self-righteous Pharisee says his prayers in the temple. He is prideful and self-congratulatory. A tax collector also says his prayers, but unlike the Pharisee, he is humble. God hears the prayers of the humble tax collector and does not listen to the self-righteous Pharisee. And the moral of the story is be humble like the tax collector. The tax collector has discovered the secret. He has found a way to win approval in the eyes of God. Humility. So be like the tax collector, and you too will be able to say, thank God I am not like that Pharisee. And there's the trap that betrays this interpretation of the story. This is not a parable about winning God's love. This is not a story about substituting for one bad way to try to get God to listen to us, being self-righteous, with a good way that God likes, humility. Rather, it is a story in which two seemingly unlike characters stand before God and are really very much the same. They both need God's love and forgiveness. They are both loved and forgiven by God. The difference is that one is open to receiving that abundant love and the other is not. The Pharisee's prayer is more like a progress report. Dear God, just wanted you to know I'm doing quite well, thank you. I give more than I need to, I'm keeping the commandments, I'm well regarded in the community, and this is the Pharisee signing off. The Pharisee asks nothing of God and goes home with nothing. On the other hand, there is the tax collector, a despicable fellow, a traitor to his community, making money off his neighbors to support the occupying Roman forces, and for some reason, who knows why, this tax collector comes to the temple knowing he needs God's love and mercy. He has done nothing to earn God's love. He is not deserving of it. He just needs it and asks for it. And he goes home aware of the abundant love flowing down on both himself and the Pharisee. But where the tax collector has opened up his heart and allowed God's love and mercy to wash over him, the Pharisee has put up an umbrella of self-fulfillment and has cloaked himself in a bubble of self-sufficiency. And all of the love of God that rains down on the righteous and unrighteous alike just runs off of him. So, this is a parable about God's abundant love for us. And whether or not we're going to take off our raincoats and dance around in the rain, or whether we're going to try to keep ourselves dry and distant and unaffected, God's love is lavish. And if there's one word I'd like you to take home today, it is the word lavish. A word derived from an old French word which means a torrent of rain. God's love is like a torrent of rain, extravagant, abundant, more than enough. I think lavish love is a phrase that we ought to put right up there with the other phrase that so defines us here at St. Paul's, radical welcome. Now we can have two. Radical welcome and lavish love. And I hope you will appreciate this image about rain as an image of God's love given the weather today. The response to God's lavish love is to accept it, to relish it, treasure it, and to find as many ways as we can to give it away, so that we can live out the image of God that is stamped upon every one of us, the image of God as abundant love. We are to open our hearts, hands, and stand in the stream of God's love, and to use every means at our disposal to share this love with others. In church, we call this good stewardship. In church, we practice accepting this love by greeting one another in the peace of the Lord. We practice accepting this love by gathering at God's table, saying, "We need this food." We practice giving this love by praying for people, some of whom we do not even know, but that they may know themselves to be bathed in the river of God's delight. We practice giving that love by making our offerings of ourselves to our money, our talents, our gifts. We practice giving this love by going forth from this place, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit to love and serve the Lord. The love that moves the sun and stars, the love that creates, sustains, and redeems the cosmos, is always uttering an eternal yes to our question, "Do you love me?" The only thing we need to do is open ourselves to that love. All the self-flattery, self-importance, and self-righteousness ends in futility. When we stop reciting our resumes in the temple, the incarnate love of God meets us and embraces us, saying, "I know your pain, my beloved. I forgive you your sins. I know your emptiness, and I will fill it, and I will fill you with my love." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and